Hi, this is Patty Scalzo, welcoming you to the Bible study program, Shiar Jashub, brought to you by the Church of Shiar Jashub Christian Tabernacle in Madison, Connecticut. Today, we will begin the next sermon in my husband, Pastor Greg Scalzo's series on the Book of Romans.
This morning, we'll continue our study in the book of Romans. And last time that we had the study, we finished chapter 1. And we saw that Paul gave from verses 18 to 32 a very accurate, vivid description of the degeneration, the fall of mankind, the decline into idolatry, into paganism, debauchery, and all forms of unrighteousness that the nations fall into. How they suppress the truth and unrighteousness. How they are without excuse, since God's invisible attributes are clearly seen by the things that are made. But how they do not glorify God as God. They were not thankful. They became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. That they think themselves wise, but they become fools. And they exchange in the place of God images of created things, and accepting the corruptible in the place of the incorruptible, eternal Creator God. They are exchanging the truth of God for a lie, and they rejected God from their knowledge. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge, it says in Romans chapter 1. And then Paul says, therefore, because of all this, God gives them over to uncleanness. He gives them over to the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves and all types of perversions. He gives them over to vile passions. He gives them over to a debased, worthless mind, to do things which are not fitting. And then Paul gives a list of the things that are not fitting in verses 29 to 31. And we concluded in verse 32 in chapter 1, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them, encourage others to join in the unrighteousness. So that's some section of chapter 1 where we finished up last time. Now remember, the church at Rome has both Jewish believers in Jesus and Gentile believers in Jesus. And most likely, as we studied at the very beginning when we started the book of Romans, the initiators, the prominent people in the church are Jewish believers, the ones who started the church, who started the movement of the Word of God at Rome. And they're dealing with these different Gentiles. And remember, in Rome, you just don't have Roman Italian Gentiles. You have all different peoples from the surrounding civilized world that are coming there, much like New York City. It's the center. It's the world center of that empire. So they're dealing with these different types of Gentile converts in this church at Rome. And the Jews as a people have had to suffer all the abominations, all the paganism of the Romans, of the Greeks, and of all the other Gentiles, the barbarians, the barbaros. So you can almost hear the Jewish believers in this church at Rome as the letter of Paul is being read, saying, as Paul gives this description of the nations, of the Gentiles, as they fall into paganism, saying, amen. That's a great description, Paul, of those Gentiles. But Paul doesn't stop there. He goes right on. We hear the chapters, but the letter is continuous. And you read in Romans chapter 2, verse 1, therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are, who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. Paul begins this discussion on this section with a general statement applicable to all. Just like when you go back in chapter 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. It's a general statement that applies to all, that leads into a discussion of the idolatry and the paganism and the debasement of the Gentile world. Here you have another general statement that's applicable to all, and it leads into a discussion of the Jew to attain to the God kind of righteousness. What's lacking in the Gentiles, we've seen, and now we'll see what's lacking in the Jew. And so everyone, the conclusion will be everyone, Jew and Gentile, everyone needs Jesus Christ. Remember I said that my contention was that Paul's writing this letter, even though it's not said straight out, he's answering a question that's in there. Why again do we need Jesus for salvation? What role does he play? And he's going to show both the Jew and the Gentile need the Lord. Remember back in chapter 1, verse 20, even his eternal power and Godhead are evident so that they are without excuse. The same word is being used here in chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, you are inexcusable. The same word, without excuse, indefensible, inexcusable. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man. Who is Paul speaking to? Whoever you are who judge. Whoever you are who judge. Now that word judge there does not of itself, in and of itself, mean to condemn. It's a basic Greek word. It's krino. Krino, it means to judge, to decide. You pick out, you separate, you approve, you determine, you pronounce judgment, and then if the judgment is proper, you condemn. It means to judge. And they are right in seeing the wrongs of the nations, the gross sin. He has said the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men. It's right to make a judgment against sin. But if you see that judge looking at the sin and then not seeing the same problem in themselves, right? What's at work in themselves, even if it hasn't blossomed to the same degree. You know, if you're brought up in a Jewish culture, handed down from the fathers, things are not going to blossom in the same way as if you're a Gentile brought up with the Roman pagan gods or the Greek pagan gods, and you've had all types of twisted ideas coming down generation after generation. If you have the Word of God, it acts as a pen to hold in some of the sin. But as you are passing judgment on these things, you should notice there's a problem in yourself. There's a problem inside, clearly seen in the Gentile society, but that's in all mankind, even in the Jew. So, therefore, you are inexcusable, O man. Whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. If you judge, you know better, right? So then you condemn yourselves. Your knowledge of what's wrong doesn't save you. Just knowing what's wrong, just having the law, can't save you. Why? For you who judge practice the same things. Maybe it's different degrees. Maybe it expresses itself in different ways. But if you're honest, if you're fair, if you'd really judge rightly, he says you do the same things. Last week in the New Year sermon entitled Sevenfold Counsel to Survive the Darkness That's Coming, If you remember my first point, it was take out the plank, right? Take out the plank. If you look in Matthew chapter 7, we read from part of this. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. The Lord says, judge not that you be not judged. And the word there is krino. Krino. Same word we have here in Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And then what we read last week, and why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank, and remember we said that word plank meant a beam to hold up a roof. A plank is in your own eye. Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. Now let's be clear on something. We are supposed to judge rightly. Look at the very next verse. He says, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Aren't you making a judgment there? Right? If you follow the Lord's prescription in chapter 7, verse 6, you're making a judgment. And the very word of God, the canon, the measuring stick, and the truth of the gospel of Christ, they are pearls. And Jesus says, don't take your pearls and throw them before swine. You have something very valuable that I'm giving you. Judge how you use it. Use it wisely. Right. There's a judgment involved. We ought to know what is right. We ought to know what is true. We ought to know what is of God. We ought to know what is evil, what is of the enemy. And we're to distinguish between them. We ought to distinguish between the clean and the unclean, between the righteous and the unrighteous. All the rest of the Sermon on the Mount confirms that point.
We'll continue the message in our next broadcast. You can rehear this program and hundreds of other radio programs on our church website at shiarjashub.org. Serious times require serious Bible study. And on shiarjashub.org, you will find libraries of audio and video programs, information about our church and our pastors, and special offers to help you in your walk with Jesus. On the website, you will also have the ability to donate to the ministry of Shiar Jashub Christian Tabernacle on a secure page. And of course, there are links to our 10:30 a.m. live stream of the Sunday service on YouTube and X.com. Our service starts at 10 a.m. with worship, and then we go live for the message and the Lord's Supper. These videos are left up on YouTube, X.com, and then posted as well on Rumble.com and the church website. And that website again is shiarjashub.org. And you can always check Isaiah 7, verse 3, for the spelling of Shiar Jashub.